I do count it an honor to come to Bethel and be able to preach to you. Many, many years ago, I was a member of this church, and my wife was baptized right over there. So we have special fond memories about Bethel Baptist Church, and you know, Brother Mike was talking about how long we've known each other. I've actually known Brother Mike since he was little. Now, if that tells you anything, because he hasn't always been little or big, but he grew up, and you know, I'm going to share something. Is he out of the room? When he went to work for me, does everybody know his mother? I know you do, yes. When he went to work for me, you know, mothers sometimes, they want to take care of their children, you know. And his mother is a lady that is good at expressing herself. And she got in my face and she shook her finger and she said, "Now I'm going to tell you something. He's going to work for you, but God has a plan for him. And he needs this time. Don't you give him one little break that will make him continue in the construction business. Make his life miserable, but keep him there for a while because God wants him to preach." And so, we got through that, and Mike has become a wonderful friend and a wonderful pastor. If you have your Bibles handy, turn to John, the fifth chapter, the Gospel of John, the fifth chapter. And if you found that, let's honor God by standing and reading His Word. Some of you that have babies in your lap, don't do that. I begin reading in verse 1. The Gospel of John, 5th chapter, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up into Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent people, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in this case, he saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." And Jesus saith unto him, "Arise, take up thy bed, and walk." Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I just ask you to use me in a special way today. Father, any thoughts that I may have ready to share with this flock, I ask you to remove them. And I just ask that your words might flow through me as an earthen vessel, that the almighty hand of God might speak through me, come down upon this sermon today, teach us what you would have us to know, how you would have us to love, how you would conform us more like you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. I said in Sunday school that I go to a lot of churches, and I see good churches, and I see churches that just have lost their calling. I don't know too much about Bethel, but I know you haven't lost your calling because I know your pastor. And I know that that some churches today get to a place where they get to a certain level and they lose their vision, if you will. They lose the intent of what the church is set out to do. Now, I know it's important to have a beautiful building to worship in. It's important to come into God's house and come to a beautiful sanctuary and be able to look upon a stage like this, have musicians here, people that play the piano, people that play the organ, and all these are wonderful to have in God's house. But sometimes it's easy to lose our vision or our compassion for what the church is really truly about. And I have preached on this scripture before, If I had to title this message today, the title would come out of verse 7, I have no man. I believe that every man, woman, boy, and girl that's ever accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior needs to have a compassion for lost people. I think that once Christ has, we've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we know that we're going to enter into eternity into heaven, we're going to spend eternity with Almighty God in heaven, that Jesus paid the price and made it possible for us to do that. Our work is not over, but many people think that their work ends at that point. I used to listen to a pastor that used to preach about having hell insurance. He said, you've got just enough salvation to get you to heaven, but you don't have all the benefits of what it takes to go through this life now and enjoy all the benefits of Christianity. I don't think that Christians can truly be happy in the Lord today unless they have this compassion for lost people. I think that every church today should be a growing church. And it should be growing because of this. It should be growing. There's a multitude of lost people outside the doors of this sanctuary. I love what this church is doing with the internet ministry. I don't understand anything about it, but I do know that it reaches people beyond even our wildest expectations, that people have the opportunity and are hearing the Word of God in many places they couldn't otherwise. But I think that every man, woman, boy, and girl that's ever heard the Word of God and accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior needs to have a burning compassion that I'm going to take it out of here and I'm going to take it to that lost person that I know, whether it's in my family, whether it's my next door neighbor, whether it's the lady that I meet when I go down to Walmart and shop, whether it's the one I run into at the gas station, wherever I run into it, we should be on a mission. Now, this passage of Scripture that I just read, Jesus experienced this. There was a pool called Bethesda, and in that pool, people lay there, and this one particular individual had been there about 38 years, if you will. Now, some of the things that are written in Scripture are in parables. This doesn't seem to be a parable. This is something that Jesus experienced himself. And I just have to think that when he was there and he looked upon this individual that had been lying in that condition for 38 years, he must have had a tear in the corner of his eye thinking, why don't somebody help that man, get him down by the edge of the pool when the waters are troubled, that they can help him get in there? Doesn't anybody have compassion upon this man? He's been there 38 years and not one soul has offered to help. And I just think it must have saddened him greatly when he saw this and experienced this, that other people were being healed, other people were being helped, other people were there and they could get in the waters, but this man had a problem. He couldn't get there by himself. I believe that there are lost people all over our communities, some in our families and so on, that will never, ever get saved unless we help them, unless we do something to them, unless we take the Word of God to them, and sometimes they don't want to hear it. Sometimes, and maybe many of you have done this, I know that I have, I've tried witnessing to individuals before, and as I witness to them, you can just see they're a little bit turned off by it. Well, I'm just, Brother Ron, I'm not ready to hear that right now. Brother Ron, maybe I've tried that, maybe I've been to this church or that church, and I just don't think that's for me. But you know what? You plant that seed, you let their life get in shipwreck, you let things begin to happen in their life that they didn't want to happen, and you'll be the first one that they run to because they know you've got the answer. Amen? It is our mission. It is our goal. We need to have a compassion to share the Word of God to everybody that we come in contact with. Now, we live in a time now, and I've seen it change. Brother Mike, I hate to tell this, but he would refer to me as an old codger. I've seen things changing over the years, and it's not changing for the better. I've seen things getting worse and worse and worse, and let me tell you, I can pinpoint the problem. It all has to do with sin in the world. Amen? Sin in the world is what's causing things to happen all over our country. Sinful men, sinful women,
sinful Congress, amen, sinful politicians, amen, are what's ruining our country now. It's time, and I pray and I preach and I hope I live long enough to see it. It's time to turn back to God. It's time for our country to have a Jesus Christ revival that breaks out across our land, or we have no hope of surviving in this country. I think the last time that I preached here on a Sunday night, I shared with you some of the things that are going on in the world that's all around us. It seemed like nuclear warheads are aimed at the United States of America right now. It seemed like that Iran wants to have us put away. And Russia says, well, I think that's a great idea. North Korea says, well, I think it's a wonderful idea. And people are plotting to do away with the United States of America. This is the weekend that we call Memorial Day weekend. And we honor those that have fought in battle to defend our great country here. But let me tell you, if you get back and you start talking, and maybe many of you that are here today are veterans, and you start talking to people that have been in harm's way, that have had those guns aimed at their head, they didn't know if they were going to come back home alive, and you'd be surprised how close they got to God when it came right down to it. And our defense today, our only defense today, is our close contact with God to defend our country, honor our country, protect our country today. And when we start losing sight of God, when we start telling people that God is not important in our country, when we start uplifting sin in our country today, and we say we're going to sin no matter what happens, and God, you're just going to have to understand that because that's the way we are, God walks out the doors and He says, okay, you're on your own. You're on your own, brother. If you think you can do it by yourself, and you think all these warheads are aimed at the United States of America, and you want it yourself, then you may be on your own. It is time to turn back to God and give our country back to God and give Congress back to God before it's too late. Amen. By the way, I always know that I'm supposed to preach. I learned this early in my ministry to preach until everybody was saying amen. And I have a little bit of a hearing problem this morning, so you need to speak up or we might be here all afternoon. No, not really. I think that everybody needs to have this compassion as Jesus saw this man that was at the pool at Bethesda, and He looked down upon that man and He says, why don't you just go down to the pool? Jesus knew the answer. He knows all things. Why don't you go down to the pool, dip yourself in? And this man's response was, I have no man. He needed help with what he was doing. I don't know about you, but and this is not quite scripturally right, but I believe it's going to be close to right. I have a vision about how it's going to be at judgment time. And I kind of envision a long line of people, some saved and some not saved. And Scripture talks about there'll be the separation from the sheep and the goats. And we'll be in this line waiting for our turn to get up there. And you know the sad part about it is, when we get to there, separate the sheep and the goats means the separating those that have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior and those that have not accepted Christ. And according to what Scripture says, there will be many, many more in that line that have not accepted Christ than those that have. And that may be part of our responsibility. It may be because you and I have not done our job and we've not put out the effort to help those people get into the waters and make themselves whole. We can't be whole, as we know. There is no wholeness. There is no pureness. There is no completeness without Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen. And I know that today we live in a time when there's all kinds of drug problems, there's drinking problems, there is even entertainment problems, there's a million things that people can do rather than worship God today. But I'm going to tell you, you won't do anything more important in your lifetime than come to the saving grace of Christ and just enjoy the benefits of being in His house and worshiping Him on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and every time you can get in the doors. Amen? There is no greater thing you can do than that. This man had a problem that he didn't have any help, and he, if something hadn't changed, but Jesus changed that, would be in that line waiting for judgment time. And I can just imagine myself up there. I've been a Christian for a long time. I love the Lord, amen. I know that at judgment time, the first judgment I'll go through, I'll be able to walk boldly up there and know that Jesus paid the price. I'm a Bible-believing, blood-washed, born-again, Bible-believing Christian, and I love being who I am. I know that Jesus made that possible, and when it gets to be my turn, I'm going to stand up there and stick my chest out, and I'm going to say, I'm here because of Christ, and I know you're going to let me in because He's promised me that in His Word. But there may be several people ahead of me, and there may be people ahead of me that I know, and there may be people ahead of me that I'm related to, and there may be people that I knew really well that I just didn't bother with. And as they step up there to the judgment seat of God, and like I say, I think it's going to be something very similar to that, and the Lamb's Book of Life is opened up, and as they look down, as God looks down upon them, and they look down with bowed heads, with no defense at all, you know, Jesus says that He will be our advocate. They do not have an advocate. The only defense that they'll be able to do is cry out and say, "But I had no man!" Wouldn't that be the awfulest thing that you ever heard? That maybe somebody, maybe one of your children, maybe one of your brothers, maybe one of your sisters, maybe mother and father, next door neighbor, grandchildren, much has been said today about grandchildren. It's so important to make contact with them, have that compassion for them, to lead them to the Lord rather than get in this complacency in the church that we've got our own little church. We've got enough people to pay all the bills. We're happy in our church family, and that's as far as the Word of God needs to go, and then stand in judgment and see this one after that one after the next one stand there and say, "But I had no man." Now, that will not be held to our part. However, I just wonder, according to Scripture, when we get into heaven, we won't be able to see the people down on earth. However, people in hell will be able to look up into heaven. But before we get in there, I just wonder how that's going to make us feel. I just can't imagine standing there in that line, waiting for my prideful self to get up there, and my defense being Jesus Christ and Him crucified, as Paul says, and knowing that I'm going to get my turn, and seeing maybe 40 or 50 people that I love very much, that I had opportunities to witness to, that I should have taken the occasion to witness to them, and hearing them cry out in fear, "I had no man. No one told me about Jesus Christ. No one told me about what I needed to do." I shared in Sunday school this morning that I used to teach a soul winning class, and one night I was out and visiting, and a former pastor of this church was with me. And we were, I believe, in Farmington, Missouri. And we had certain scriptures that we needed to remember. And Brother Ken Goff was with me, and he said, "I want to go visit this one individual. He's been to church a number of times. He's not saved. He says he's not saved. He's a prominent businessman in town. He's got everything that he needs except Christ." So we went over there and we started visiting with him, and I started sharing scripture with him, and it just like he says, "Well, you know, I think church is a good thing, and I think God is a good thing, but I'm not quite ready, you know, to submit to it right now." And Ken Goff started speaking these words to him. He said, "You're out here mowing your grass," and he had a big fancy lawnmower out there, and he said, "If I knew that right over on the other side of your yard was a big bluff, and if you got over too close to that, you could easily go off the side of that bluff, and there was a big burning pit down below," he said, "wouldn't you think that I would be prudent to go over there and just stop you and say, 'Don't go over there, it's dangerous'?" And he said, "Yeah, I would think you would." And he said, "But what if you just drove around me and you just kept going over in that direction? Wouldn't you think that if I cared anything about you at all, I'd go over there and I'd just stop you and say, 'It's dangerous. Will you stop what you're doing? You're going to go off the edge of that thing over there and you're going to burn up, completely burn up, and it's going to cost you your life. Wouldn't you want me to do that?'" And he said, "Yeah."
And he said, finally, if you didn't listen, if I had to absolutely lay down in front of your tractor to stop you, wouldn't it be good if I'd done that? And he said, well, yes, if it's that dangerous. And he said, what we're trying to talk to you about right now is just that dangerous and just that serious. But we've lost our compassion for lost people. We have forgotten the fact that hell is a terrible place to be. And I believe when every lost person in the world first enters into hell, their defense would be, this is not for me. I don't belong here. I've never done anything that bad. Please deliver me from here, and it'll be too late. Christians today have their mind set on heaven, and I think that's a wonderful thing. And I'm looking forward to heaven. Many of the old saints that I've known for years and years have gone on before me, and they're up there now. My mother and father's up there. I have relatives up there. I have brothers up there. And I'm looking forward to getting up there. However, wouldn't it be a travesty to leave these people that I know, that I supposedly care about and should care about, and it's my commandment and my obligation according to God to take the good news of Jesus Christ to them, and yet I don't do anything about it. I let them walk off that cliff or drive their tractor off that cliff, or as this poor man was in Scripture here, that had spent 38 years and not one person had done anything in his defense to help him out. And then hear them cry out, I had no man. If you will, and you've got your Bible still handy, turn with me to Matthew, the 12th chapter. I'm going to read a scripture that bothers me greatly. And I ask a pastor friend of mine, not your pastor, because I believe if your pastor found it in Scripture, he'd preach on it. But I ask a pastor if he ever preached on this one particular verse. And he said, well, no, because it's a little hard. And I don't know if Christians can digest it or not. Now, let me tell you. As soon as he told me that, I find occasion to preach on it about every Sunday. If it's that important and it's that hard, and it's hard to digest, we need to understand it. Amen? 12th chapter of Matthew, the 30th verse. He that is not with me is against me. All right, now let's just stop right there. He that is not with me is against me. Now, I don't know about you, but day by day, hour by hour, while I'm sleeping at night, whatever I do, I need God in my life. Amen? How about you? I need God protecting me. There are things that goes on in my life I don't understand. I don't know why when I go to sleep at night, why my lungs keep breathing. But you know they do, and I don't have anything to do with it. I don't know. I had a heart attack a few years ago, and they say my heart's in pretty good shape right now. I don't know why my heart just keeps pumping time after time after time after time. I do know that there will be a time when it will quit. And I do know whose control that's in. It's in the hands of Almighty God. He's the one keeping it going right now until He's done with me and ready to take me up and lift me up into heaven. Amen? But in the between time, it's all in His hand. I don't need to be on the other side of the fence from where He is. Amen? I need to be on His side of the fence. I don't need for Him to be against me. I need for Him to be with me and me with Him. I need God in my life. So let's look at this again and we're going to read a little farther. He that is not with me is against me. So to be with Him, I need to have the same ideas, the same goals, the same wants, the same love. I need to conform to Christ or be Christ-like in everything that I do. And I just kind of believe that Christ is the type of person that wants everybody to get saved. That's why He lets all this go on like it is right now, because He's long-suffering and compassionate enough to wait until everybody that's going to get saved does get saved. So, with that said, let's read a little bit farther. He that is not with me is against me. And he that... Now listen to this. This is where it hurts. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wow! Boy, that's some tough stuff, isn't it? And so, I go to churches. Some churches are very evangelistic-minded. But I also go to churches that are cold and indifferent. And they say, like the church of Laodicea in Revelations, we've got everything that we've want. We are running at capacity. We're paying our bills. We burnt the mortgage. I just got invited to go to a church that are going to burn their mortgage, and they wanted me to come and speak there. And so we've got everything that we need. Well, let me tell you something. They don't have everything that they need. They've lost their purpose until every man, woman, boy, and girl is saved and is a born-again, blood-washed, Bible-believing child of God. And I don't believe that God will honor. I don't believe that God will bless. I don't believe that God will be a part of a church that has lost their vision. Now, that vision should start with our children. Because children are easier to teach than somebody that's 60, 70, 80 years old that's lived without God all their life. Because somehow they've built up this thing thinking, I've gotten by all these years without judgment. Maybe there's not going to be a judgment, but let me tell you, there's going to be a judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. So we need to start with our children while they're in the formable years. And then we need to be in our family, teaching the Word of God. I grew up in a home where when we went to bed at night, we had a family altar. We'd kneel down around couches and chairs, and we'd pray for each other. We'd pray for our family. We'd pray for our church. People have gotten out of that now because God is not quite as important to us as what He used to be a few years back. And yet, we see more and more people growing up out of the home that don't know anything about God whatsoever. A family asked me in a church I used to pastor, they said, should you make your children go to church? I said, do you make them go to school? Well, yeah, we make them go to school. And I said, well, let me ask you something. You make them go to 12 to 16 years of school, according to how much you give them, to prepare them for adulthood so that they can be successful in this life for about 25 to 30 years. That's usually how long we're in the workforce. And yet you would think that it's not important to send your children to church to prepare them for eternity, which goes on forever and ever and ever. Yes, it's important to take your children to church. Now, I've got to tell you, I didn't like school when I was growing up. And I've got to tell you, I didn't like Sunday school when I was growing up. I could get by with the preaching service because I'd usually lay back in the seat and take a nap. But let me tell you, I was exposed to it. The seeds were planted. And when I personally got my life in shipwreck and got away from God, I knew where to come back to. Amen. It was all up here and in here. I knew where to come back to. And so I'm going to ask you in closing today, do you have that compassion for lost people? Starting in your home with your children, your grandchildren, starting with your spouses. Some people, I don't know who has here, but we have in the church that where I'm pastoring right now, we have several ladies that come to church and their husbands do not come with them. And that's a shame because I think it makes it harder on the ones that do come. But they're very faithful in what they're doing. But wouldn't it be awful if that same wife that doesn't just really make their... You know, you ladies, you can make your husband's life miserable. I don't know. Most of you probably know that, don't you? Yes, you do. You can make your husband's life miserable. But wouldn't it be awful if that same wife would stand there in judgment time and hear their husband, just a few people up, scream out in judgment and say, but I had no man. I had no one that really just bared down on me and told me that it's important to serve God. It's important to get right with God. It's important to accept the shed blood of His redemptive powers to make me whole again. You know, Brother Mike just had a serious back operation. And we're hoping that he'll be made whole again. And we're hoping that the pain's taken away.
But I'm going to tell you something about your pastor you may not know. In a few years, Lisa, don't listen to this. In a few years, he's going to die. Amen. In a few years, the old body that he's patching up and putting together right now, that heart's going to stop beating. That lung's going to stop working. But the thing that he's worked for all these years is going to become very, very important. He's preparing himself for eternity. He's going to receive that new glorified body that some will not receive. He's going to live in that glorified home in heaven that's prepared for him right now. Amen? So it's important that we prepare now and get ourselves ready. But more importantly, that once we're ready, that we not lose our vision, that we not lose sight of what our true calling is, that we go out into the world and spread the good news of Jesus Christ to everybody that we come in contact with. Let's stand together. Where's Matthew? Matthew, could you come up here and play a little something, please?